Football. That's right. NFL Straya. No longer Swifty Straya. Jeez, what a world. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a guy. You can see me in the newspaper every day. You can see me on Codebet Daily every day. You can see me on NBA Straya every day next week. I do a lot, but also, what is it, Fox Sports Lab NFL? That's a good one too. But I'm here in the James Clements Excellence in Podcasting Memorial Studios, a.k.a. the Codebet Studios. And we have on the other side of this here, Computy. It's a new system. We've never done this before. He's a bloke who's 5-0. He's trying to get, look, to go next to last year's tattoo, this week was okay because it goes the stripe down, 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 down. This is the tough one where it goes across along the side of his schlong. So he's a bloke who's 5-0. He is a sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackalami. He's my mate. He's your mate. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Mate, I couldn't handle the excitement of being the only team to win in the NFC East this week, so I've just fucked off to another state. I'm in my glorious hotel room, or the sex den, as you referred to it before we jumped on air. And I'm up in Sydney. Watched the game at on King's Wharf, Monday Night Football. Did some little bit of work in front of a laptop while drinking a beer in front of the sun. And Sydney's only thing it's good for is a harbour, mate. So let's watch some football, and we're going to talk about the rest of the games.
Checks out. Dig it a lot. Well, I'll tell you what. Quarter of the season's now gone. We hit that point halfway through between 4 and 5. But week 5 is Dunskies. It's in the bag. Packed her up. Put her in the bag. Send her off from Gaz to Sydney. It is the week 5 wrap this week. We've had far less Taylor Swift content this week, Gaz, which I know you're disappointed in. So less Swift, more Niners? Sure. Today we're going to do the top 5 best teams, bottom 5 teams as part of our Yeah Nahs. We've got the good bloke and flog of the week. What do we got? Outback Takehouse and our week 6 picks. Which is good. Got a few random thoughts in there as well. So let's bloody well get into it, Gaz, because this is episode 80 of NFL Australia. 80. That's a nice round number.
Nice round number.
Let's go. Oh, hey, this is Mac Jones, and you're listening to NFL Australia. Jeez, that's right.
Pat's crime, mate. Pat's on Pat's crime.
I've never been so more disgusted at my beloved Patriots, Gaz. Anyway, week 5, what happened? What are we looking at this week? Well, me basically taking the iPad and wanting just to piff it out the window in the morning and just go, I'm done. I'm just done. I've already joked about becoming basically a flat-out Lions fan, and I'm just feeling much better about that at this point. So, just gross. Absolutely gross. 3 points in 2 weeks, Gaz. Three. That's three total bad, points. Man. What are you doing?
I can score three. You don't even have Matt Patricia to be your whipping boy anymore.
I loved having Matt Patricia as my whipping boy. Nothing sexual, just weird. Nah. But, seriously, he was just... Oh, now I'm picturing him in a gimp costume and kind of,
with that beard.
Kind of fits.
Anyway, behind his ear.
He's got a gimp suit and he's somehow stuck a pencil to the side of his head. we have only 2 remaining unbeaten teams. One of those is your Philadelphia Eagles. We have.
Would they both be in the NFC after all of these quarterbacks moved to the AFC? Everyone went, NFC's got to be fucked. 2 left, buddy.
Yeah. I don't know. What is it? Iron sharpens iron. Meanwhile, they're just everyone's shit in the AFC. Yeah. We only have 1 remaining winless team, though, after Chicago's effort last Friday morning, which was pretty fun. And, I don't know, came as a bit of a surprise. But, look, when you're a fantasy guru like me, Gaz, and you finally look like a genius for having Jussie Fields on your team. God, you got to ride that dragon.
What do they say about a broken clock, Jimmy?
Yeah, it gets a 1 win per season. The poor Carolina Panthers, they're the only winless team. The Patriots basically feel like a winless team because the team that they did beat was the Jets. But otherwise, look, there's not a giant amount that sort of popped off about this week beyond what the Jags sticking in London got them an extra win, which is very, very cool. They sort of go across town from Wembley over to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Snag another win over the Bills. But I think this is what you've just alluded to, right? The AFC, we sort of hit on that I don't know, covering a bit of the ground in the standings last week and how I think the entire AFC South was 2-2. Mm-hmm. They're all now 3-2 or 2-3 in a surprise twist. But it does feel like we've got no real dominant AFC team at the moment, because even KC, like, they keep getting these bullshit skinnier teeth wins that they pull out of their ass. And you're like, Well, just keep racking up wins in fucking September, October. Who cares, right? Like, it doesn't matter how you get those wins when it comes to the end of the season, as long as they're wins. But outside of that, no one's – like, the Bills are losing –
Well, that's what
in
I was
London.
Going to say. We always say that, you know fuck all about this, the season and the team in the first 2 weeks, and it starts to even itself out. But then every team that we thought we knew where they were heading is at a stumbling block. I mean, look at the Bills this week, and there's no consistency in the AFC.
That's it. I mean, you've got Miami looking good again, but that's just because they got to kick the shit out of the hapless Giants. But either way, it's kind of like this weird sort of setup where you go into week 5 going, right, that's the end of the preseason, right? This is the sort of, you should know what most of these teams are. And I feel like in the AFC, we've just got questions coming out our ass. Whereas the NFC, you're like, well, there's 2 really good teams. There's 2 other very good teams. And then everybody else, fucked if I know. Like, are the Seahawks awesome? We just don't know yet. It's a lot of questions. Pretty fun. But anyway, before we get into some wraps, which we'll fly through, injuries, there was a fair few this week, which were pretty crummy. Yeah. I guess, James Conner hurting his knee in that Arizona game. My man, Devin Achane, looks like he might have like a little bit of a knee niggle, which is not good. But hopefully he's all right, because he might turn my fantasy season around.
That's the only thing you got, mate.
So it's literally, I've got nothing else. I think the toughest one, though, and this sort of sticks out to me, the Bills. There's like a tipping point where you get defensive injuries, right? Now Matt Milano's out, Daquan Jones is out. It just gets real tough real quick. And I don't know. It might not matter, because the Bills might.
Broken leg, isn't he? He's gone.
Yeah, I mean, Bills just might end up like just having to score 38 points every game anyway and outscoring everybody. So they're probably fine doing that. You got Leighton Van Der Esch out. Elijah Vera Tucker's done for the season. Not helping that O-line for that Jets team. Jesus, Zach Wilson. But the big one for me, Anthony Richardson. Mate, can you get through a game? Just one. Just get me through one game, guys. Come on, Tony. Wake up. What are you doing?
there's two that didn't on the list that I forgot to add to my notes that are worth mentioning. Emmanuel Mosley, who came back for the Lions, who came back for his ACL, had his first game back and did his ACL. That's tough splitting. That's a bad one. And, of course, we've got the main man himself, Deshaun Watson, who was medically cleared, except diagnosed himself for a weak heart and no spine, and decided not to play, and has not trained with the team since.
I feel like it just means that he found a good massage parlor.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't left.
Yeah.
He's like, how many can I go back to back? Let's just find out. That's what he's done. Easy as that. All right, let's wrap up week 5 as quickly as we can. Chicago beat the piss out of the Washington Commies.
That was a fucking great way to start the week.
It was pretty fun, because, I mean, I know that you went straight to the Washington Commanders subreddit.
Did I ever?
Sans pants, just partying hard.
To be fair, after this many seasons, it's actually quite a sad place to be. They don't even bother anymore. It's great. You have the instant reactions, but they're just like, Ron Rivera, can he just go now? Like,
I'm going to talk about a couple of these weird inept teams later when we talk about one of my favorite sort of topics. But you look at a team like that where you go, your defense is meant to be your calling card.
Yeah.
Gave up 40 to fucking Chicago. What are we doing? Yep. Like, that is insane. It's gross. It's despicable. Now I'm just sounding like Herm Edwards, who, talk about a waste of space on our NFL broadcast. Because I love how, I don't know if you've noticed this, Gaz, the ESPN broadcaster we get in Australia, they do like the weird, here's an Australian perspective on the NFL. It's like, no. This is a specially made broadcast for Australian NFL with the shit kicker types from ESPN that you don't fucking care about. No. And you've kicked Herm Edwards all the way down because you realized he's a fucking loose cannon who's shit and doesn't know anything. And here he is, Australia. And you're like, he's talking out his ass. Gaz and I could do a better job than this. And like, God bless Phil Murphy. He's doing all the, he's like me. He just does all the heavy lifting time after time after time. And then pitches it to a so-called expert who talks out his ass and just comes up with platitudes. No, that's, we'll call that Codebet Daily instead of this one. But Herm Edwards, fucking hell. And it's like, it gets really bad when you watch the, I feel like, it's the Friday morning and then the Monday morning sort of games where they've thrown Herm in and you're like, you've got nothing else for him to do you? You brought him back and you made a horrible mistake because he doesn't know shit. Doesn't know his ass from his elbow. He's getting to that age. He got fired from his college job. He's just a bit shit. And you're like, shut up, Herm. And Phil Murphy, he's fine, but God damn. Anyway, actually, I don't know if he was on the Friday one. They had somebody else on who wasn't too bad, but God damn, Herm is just like nothing. I think that must have been on the Monday one because they were sort of running through some of the teams. And it, like he doesn't know who the fuck anyone is. You're like, dude, you stink. Yeah. Anyway, Chicago won. but this is the point, right? Like you let Juzzy Field sort of get into a bit of a groove. The dude's now had two really good weeks.
In a row, yeah, the last 2 weeks. Yeah.
And what was it? Was it DJ Moore?
Yeah, he found DJ fucking Moore for what did he have? Like fucking 50,000 touchdowns or whatever the fuck it was. But he's breaking. Mate, fantasy weeks were ended on Friday. It was great. Like, it depends if you're in a PPR or half PPR league like we are. But DJ Moore put up 50 points by himself. So I went from 20 points behind to smashing Josh out of the park in the fucking first game. But also, the other one is poor Sam Howell put up, I think it was 388 yards or something ridiculous like that in a losing side. But he got sacked another 5 times. Jimmy, he's been sacked 29 times in 5 weeks and on target for 99 for the season, which is fucking, that's tough work. That is fucking.
He and Danny Dimes should like go into witness protection at this point. Like that's fucked.
Yep.
Jesus. But yeah, what was it? It was 230 or something for DJ Moore, wasn't it? And 3 touchdowns. Like it's absolute chaos. So not bad. Jacksonville, they go over to Old Bloody. Well, they stayed in Old Bloody rather. Buffalo fly out. Pretty late in the piece to go to Old Bloody. They fly on the Friday. Guess what happened, Gaz?
They were a bit tired, Jimmy.
They were a bit tired. That's right. They had fucking jet lag. You watch that game, they're like, oh, fuck, where are we? I feel weird. My head feels weird. Does your head feel weird? My leg feels funny. Like it was just all fucked up. And this is kind of it, right? It's like you do that sort of weird flight east from the east coast of America. And you land, you're like, oh, no, nah, man, we'll just get straight into it. We'll fly out the Friday. It's like, that seems dumb.
Mm.
Like, that seems the worst of both. Like, fly out on the Saturday if you want to go straight into it. Like, or just go on the Wednesday. What is happening? It's like, nah, man, we want the guys to relax.
2 weeks versus
stupid.
48 hours, Jimmy. One team was there for two. It just stayed there. If it was you or I, we'd go, we've got to stay on top of this and get our body clock right. So we're going straight to the fucking pub. Unfortunately, 100%. They can't do that.
Cowards. but that's I feel like the Jags just spent most of the week like at the pub.
Yeah.
Just sort of soaking in the vibes.
Yeah.
Soaking in that sort of time-honored tradition of British pubs of the stickier carpet, the vibes, the air is just that little bit different because it's been there for hundreds of years versus our pubs who have been here for 50 years, you know, that sort of stuff. But either way, 25-20, Etienne was awesome for Jacksonville.
Yep.
The game-winning touchdown was gnarly. Ridley looked really good. It was just nice of them as well to not drop everything from T-Law. So good win for the Jags, though. Just acclimatize, win the game. Good job by Dougie P. They just kind of – I don't know, bedraggled Buffalo a little bit. I think the biggest thing for me was that they just controlled possession as well, right? They had it felt like every time you looked up, the Jags just still had the ball. And you're like, that's probably not great for the team that just flew in like a day and a half ago. So anyway, Atlanta, they beat Houston. Game-winning field goal, 21-19. Youngway Koo.
He's
pretty good.
It was pretty interesting. It was actually a mildly entertaining game for these two sides. It was a bit scrappy, a bit backwards and forwards, a couple of turnovers. Bijan dropped the ball.
Desmond Ridder just doesn't lose at home, though.
Yeah, apparently.
Ever. He just never loses. He hasn't lost since high school.
Yeah.
In fact, I think he went through all high school without losing at home as well. He's still shit. Don't get me wrong, but He just doesn't lose at home. Like, that's fine.
That's bizarre. Pitts ended up with 87 yards. That guy, they're actually, he had equal most catches for the game for both teams. The guy can catch.
Yeah, throw the big guy the ball, and guess what happens?
Did you also see the Bijan touchdown where he handled the ball behind his back, fake? He almost dropped it, and then he's done the old fake around and dug in. That's pretty good. If you haven't seen that clip, go in and watch it. There's a nice overhead view of him doing the. That's like the who was it? Was it Chris Webber doing the around the back thing over the top, posterized?
On the
basketball
fast break.
Reference, Jimmy.
Jesus, you should start a daily podcast about the NBA.
Hey, I've got one reference. That's me done for the rest of our
career. Detroit 42, Carolina 24. Did not expect this. Without Amon-Ra St. Brown and without Jahmyr Gibbs as well, the Lions do this. Like, it was really good. This. And we'll get to the top five teams in the NFL. Like, this is the thing that a good team does. You're missing like two of your big weapons on offense. Doesn't matter. You still kick the shit out of a bad team.
Yep.
Like, that's unreal. Goff had three passing touchdowns, ran one in himself. They're kind of legit. The Panthers, they're just still shit. So,
And James Williams only like just came back. Didn't really do too much in his first game. Really had a drop or a couple of other things. But
can Bryce Young stop getting hit in the head as well? It feels like he gets hit like in the shoulders and head more than like any other QB I've seen this year. It might be because he's a little person, but at the same time, like, what are we doing?
Just has to lift their elbow and they've just not. Sorry, mate. I thought it was hilarious that they bought him. They needed to do the old third or fourth and one. So, you know, the tush push or, you know, the quarterback sneak in the old school days. And they rolled out, you know, renowned quarterback sneak expert, Andy fucking Dalton. Came out for one play, back on the bench, son. There you go.
Tough scene. But, I mean, look, at least Andy's earning that money. Indy beat Tennessee 23-16 because we've got some Minshew mania. This is it. Tony just can't stay healthy. Anthony Richardson, he like, this goes back to my idea, right? If you can just start one QB for a half and then bring in another one, maybe this might be the Minshew magic. Like, just go, all right, Anthony, get in there for the first half. Try not to get fucking injured, because if you make it through to halftime, we'll then send in Gardner and he'll bring us home because he's magical. Let's go. It's the old Fitzy trick as well, right? So I like this. It was a weird game, though. Tennessee are just still wildly frustrating. But Indy, talk about, like, controlling possession. Like, every time the Titans had it, it just feels like there are certain teams where it's just a fucking punish to score. The Titans are one of them. And Indy, meanwhile, they sort of just moved the ball, kept control of it. Jonathan Taylor came back. Well, we should probably mention that at the top, right? He finally got his contract. Came off pup, got his contract, felt good about it. And then Zach Moss just went absolutely fucking apeshit.
Yeah.
It was awesome. 165 yards and two touchdowns. Jesus Christ. And
it's been really weird watching Desert Henry, though. Like, he was not getting anything in the first half. And, like, it's just getting stuffed at every opportunity. Like, oh, it's the Indy defense, right? Surely he's going to tire them out. He's going to keep it close. And then there'll be one or two, you know, quick breakaway before the end of the game. And that'll kind of be it, but it just never came.
Didn't happen. I mean, he had a touchdown that got called back, and I'm like, it did. Like, as soon as that happened as well, I'm like, wait a minute, that's a question for Gaz on the show. Is Derrick Henry the best quarterback on Tennessee?
Yeah,
he's already thrown one touchdown this season. He basically threw another one this week. It's like, who's got more touchdowns this season, he or Tannehill? Like, let's go. Yeah. Either way, Hopkins was good for the Titans as well. He had a couple of fucking beautiful snags. He ended up with 140, but God damn, this Titans team, especially on the road, I'm just like, you can't trust them.
No.
And I think we both picked Tennessee, but if you had told me that at some point of that game, Gardner Minshew is going to come in, I'd be like, well, I'm going to go Indy. What are you doing?
The other one is, as you mentioned, the Taylor contract. But straight after the game, they've extended Zach Moss for about a $42,000 contract, $42 million contract as well. So now they've gone from, no, we're not going to pay running backs anything. And then they've just knocked off two contracts within a week. Oh, Jesus.
It's weird. Maybe Jim Irsay needs to go back to saving whales. Like, maybe these are his new whales. He's just going to give every running back all the money. So not bad. Miami kicked the shit out of the Giants, as we mentioned, 31-16. Achane had 151. Tyreek had 181 yards. Like, Danny Dimes got hit, hurt his neck again, but they reckon he – I feel like they were doing the MRI and then it sort of came out. I don't know if you found this year, Gaz, but NFL news and, like, especially injury news, there are so many bullshit, like, fucky reporters out there this year that I don't know if this is, like, the Elonification of Twitter, where X is just fucked and there's, like, all these weird – looks like an officially kind of, like, reporter.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, sure. And it's just like you end up wading through a bunch of bullshit to figure out what the fuck is going on.
You can't tell because every time it's got the blue tick and you got no idea. Yeah. Like, am I following – is this worth reposting or investigating, or is it just some dude being a clown?
Exactly. So it's like Dimes, I've seen like reports that he might be okay for next week. Other ones where it's like, well, he hurt his neck. It's the same neck that he obviously hurt because he's only got one.
Yeah.
Similar sort of injury as like, what, 2 years ago, three years ago?
Yeah, he said his neck's feeling – well, I think the one quote that I heard from him was that it's about the same pain as he was going through last year that he played through. So sure. I don't know whether it's a good or a bad thing. But, yeah. But the other thing is that with that game, the only thing that – it was kind of this false sense of security because Miami were definitely moving the ball down and the Giants were completely unable to score until that pick six, which was 102 yards, because that would have been punched in again. So, but once again, that was the only touchdown for the Giants of the game. So they've still not scored an offensive touchdown in the first half of any game this season. And they went through another game without scoring an offensive touchdown at all. Like, what the fuck is with this team, Dip? Like, as Supersuck offensive, sorry, coach of the year, offensive magician, and can't get their $140 million a year quarterback to score touchdowns.
It's bizarre.
It is, like, bizarre.
They stink. It's so weird. I hate them. And I never want to watch them again. Hey, guess who's on primetime this week? Oh, that's right. The fucking Giants again. Baltimore-Pittsburgh, we called it 17-10. Pittsburgh win this one in an absolute grind out, come from behind. Steelers win. The Pickens touchdown was absolute – well, just the big catch that he had in the touchdown was just absolutely fucking magnificent.
Yeah, that was in this game.
Exactly, especially if you started Pickens in your fantasy league because Amon Ra St. Brown was out. But either way, happy days. Look, I think the weird thing is I've already seen like two reports go, oh, well, Lamar, he wasn't that good. I mean, the intercept. It's like, hang on a second. He was let down by his receivers all fucking game. There's like six drops. There's like a flat out touchdown. It's like, what the fuck is going on?
The
like,
first it's not half, Lamar's fault. He looked relaxed. He was making throws or he was finding himself time and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, oh, they're going to run away with this because the Steelers in the first half could not move the fucking ball. And I'm like, oh, here we go. This is going to be – because I did actually pick the Ravens. And then the second half, they just couldn't do anything. I think it was like five drops. Lamar on the sideline, smashing his helmet and just like out of frustration. And you're like, Jesus, man. Like, yeah.
Well, the good thing is we know that Pittsburgh and Baltimore, there's no love lost there. I don't know if you've ever heard that said about them about them. Like, you can throw out the record books when these two play.
Yep.
What else? Oh, yeah, the simple fact that the underdog always covers is a good one too.
Yep.
There you go. What else we got? We've got, this game didn't happen. Saints, Pats, 34-0. Moving on. Wow. Cincinnati.
No.
What a horrible fucking game it was, Gaz. It was absolute the fake tush push that turned into a turnover. Just absolute bullshit. I don't know what has happened to this team, but it's not good. And it's just like the sheer dearth of talent on offense, especially the O-line, is like Mac might not be very good, but Mac also has zero time to fucking do anything. Even when he does get a bit of time, to be honest, he's still shit, but like, wow, he's bad.
And then he's got no one to go to.
The tipping point, though, I think happened for the defense this week as well, right? Losing Judon, losing Gonzalez. I think last week I might have called him Carlos Gonzalez, but I'm like, because I just like the baseball player, It's Christian Gonzalez.
Yes.
But the tipping point, obviously, losing 34-0 at home. That's the first time I think there's been a shutout at Gillette, I feel like, for Belichick. The biggest loss. It's just absolutely fucking – it's a train wreck.
Yeah. And against it, like against New Orleans as well, that's the other thing. It wasn't just about getting your – like if that had happened against – if it happens against the Cowboys, all right. If the Niners come in, sure. But it's New Orleans. So it was that Mac has now had as many pick sixes at Gillette in what, four seasons as Tom Brady had in his entire career at Gillette. There you fucking go.
It's pretty rough, I'll tell you. Pretty rough. But I think really it is shit like that though. It's like the weird decision making. It's the weird crappiness. The horrible, like the turnovers. The sheer ineptitude is probably the thing that worries me the most, right? Especially special teams. Like, this is the thing where I'm going to get to it later about coaching, where you're like, this is where the big questions come in. Go, what the fuck is going on here? This is shit, like, across the board.
Yeah.
And I feel like very similar to, like, Dallas against the Niners, right? Like, when you get beat in all three phases, like, you look like dog shit. And that's exactly what the Pats have been doing. Basically for the last 2 years. So,
yeah.
Anyway, Arizona 20, Cincy 34. Whoa, this was a bit of a sketchy one for a minute. The Cards are up 14-10 because watching this one, I'm like, oh, yeah. Cincy got the first touchdown, Chase was on. Then Arizona sort of clawed it back. You're like, hang on, look out, this is awesome. But Joey B looked a little bit better than he, well, when I say a little bit, a lot fucking better than he has most of the season already, and just went, hang on a second, I'll just throw it to Chase every time. And that worked. He had three touchdowns. He was unreal. Joey B finally woke up, and Jamar Chase chose violence. So there we go.
That, that was in Arizona. Weird. It's like, oh yeah, how's your calf? It's like, oh, let me plant it and show this 61-yard bomb down to Chase straight over the top of that,
sick,
lifting the lid off the defense, and see you fucking later.
Yep. Anyway, that's a good one. It was a good, nice, settling win for the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, I think the thing that I sort of took into a lot of these games this week, especially when we pick like the Raiders and stuff like that, right? Mm. Those 1-3 teams, like, it's kitchen sink time, because 1-4, I think 5% of teams make the playoffs after being 1-4. So you can basically just kiss your playoff hopes goodbye. And Cincy needed a win, and they did. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. Balls on the fucking line. They took care of business. Your beloved Philly went into LA, beat the Rams 23-14, shut them out in the second half. Not wildly convincing in most of the fashion of the Philly wins this season, but I feel like the big thing for me was that Hurts looked a lot better, and it sort of, he was playing a lot more naturally than he had been. And there you go, take it away, Gaz.
I think, look, honestly, it was weird to say, but I would say that it was our best game of the year, which is about just improving that little bit each time, because Cup went off in the first quarter and a half. He had 95 yards before halftime in his first game back. And in an unsurprising turn of events, it was 95% slants across the middle. We talked about it last week about we've got a dodgy injury-ridden secondary, and we're like, oh, that was going to be problematic. But this was the first time Sean Desai has been forced to adjust at halftime, and he did. And they just shut him down. And then Jalen Carter took over. He had this monster sack of Stafford.
It was so fucking gnarly. God, it was good.
At the end of the game, when it came down to, like, the Rams had to throw, it was Hassan Reddick, two sacks in two plays, just came around the edge, and I'm like, oh, he's back. And, it was awesome. Like, Jalen Hurts, like, finally got Dallas Goedert into the game. I think it had 8 receptions, a touchdown, and 120 yards, and AJ Brown, another 120 yards. It was just a bit more complete, even if the first bit of the game wasn't on our terms. Definitely happy to go walk away with that in 5-0.
Fuck yeah. Reddick, there's like basically like top five dudes that you don't want running at you, I think. Reddick's like right up there.
Yeah.
Because, like, his swim move just to get past, like, the O-line, he's just like, whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Get out of my road. I'm going to destroy that guy over there.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, God. Oh, my God. He's going to kill me. And it's like, yep. Yeah, he's probably about to kill it.
The first three games of the season, he was playing with a cast on his hand. And everyone was like, you know, he had no stats on the board. And it was all like kind of, he gave it all. He topped himself out last year. And then the moment he's got that cast off, I think he had a sack and a half last week and two this week or something like that. And he's like, oh, here we go.
I'm back, baby. Yeah. Right, KC 27, Minnesota 20. Travis Kelce died because his girlfriend wasn't there. But then he came back.
This game, because like the rest of the media weren't promoting the fuck out of it. Because
it was weird. I mean, you usually watch most of your NFL games via Taylor Swift associated social media outlets. So, bit of a shame that this one wasn't covered then. But anyway, Kelce, like, literally being carted off to go get x-rays, ends up back on the field. Like, okay.
It looked bad, like, too, because it was a non-contact injury. It was a non-contact injury. He just went down, and you're like, oh, fuck. That's not good.
And then the same thing sort of happened to Justin Jefferson later, though, where it was like the non-contact, and you're like, oh, hammy, fuck. Yeah. Not great. And, he did not come back. So
they ran out of drugs in the stadium that day.
Addison, though, looks really good. I will pay that. But look, this is the thing. It doesn't matter. It's KC. Kelce, Pacheco, you're all good about that. But Mahomes had passes to 10 different receivers, guys. 10.
Wow.
10. How many people you got on your roster who can catch passes? 10. Like, what the fuck?
Well, it's chaos. If you're Lamar Jackson, none.
Zero, yeah. They throw it to your fucking coach and hope that he catches it. But look, Kirk couldn't get out of his own way at times. They had a couple of moments like late, but it's the same thing with this Vikings team. They just feel directionless, like game in, game out. You're like, what are you? And they're like, well, we've got Brian Flores as our like wildly aggressive defensive coordinator, where we're blitzing at a higher rate than anybody else in the league. And then we get fucking killed over the top because we're blitzing the entire time and our secondary is not good enough to shut down behind the play. So we're a bit fucked and it's a bit shit. And then we've got Kirk Cousins on the other end. We can't get the run game going. And here we are. We're the Vikings once more. Then Kirk will sort of do these things where he pulls a bit of shit out of his ass, just goes, whoa, shit, look at this. Oh, God. Oh, sorry. In Kirk Cousins. Oh, shoot. Look at me do this thing. Oh, God. Oh, geez. Oh, golly, gee whiz. Oh, gee willikers. Watch out. Oh, no. What are we going to do here? I got another hole in my sweater. But they're just, it's the same old Vikings thing. They just, it's hard to get a grasp on them. It's hard to trust them. But they just also don't get blown out. I think, so what is it? That's all of their losses have come by like 8 points or less as well.
Yep.
So strange team. And KC are just still KC. Jets, Denver, 31-21, Jets win. I mean, Sean Payton was putting Rusty on blast. We'll talk about that again in a second. Zach Wilson was okay at times again. He has had some very – did Zach Wilson do bad? Mate,
just to keep to keep Trevor Siemian off the field.
Did Zach Wilson do bad? Zach Wilson did kind of bad at moments, but then he sort of turned around. The biggest thing is, though, like, talk about bloke you should buy a beer, Breece Hall. Fucking hell, he carried that team this week.
Yep.
I hate the – I was, like, yelling about Breece Hall preseason on CodeBet Daily, just about his rushing stuff, like, nonstop. And then just before the start of the season, I'm like, he's coming back from an ACL like less than 12 months ago. Surely it'll take a bit of time to ramp up. Dalvin Cook will sort of be like sliding in there. He'll be the dude for a bit. And then they'll hand it over to Breece Hall like week 8.
Yep.
Nope. Breece Hall went, fuck you, Jim. I don't even give a shit. Check this out. Beep, 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 beep. Off he goes. Fucking amazing. God, he's good. But really, Denver, how bad are you to give up over 400 plus yards and 31 points to the fucking Jets? Like, that's pretty bad, Kat.
Their defense is, that was the strength of the side. Only 2 years ago, Jim, we were only talking about they're just that quarterback away, remember? And she's not quarterback. And anyway.
And this was the Nathaniel Hackett game, though, which
is
kind
of
nice.
Yeah, of course. The revenge game. He got the Robert Saleh gave him that. Apparently the thing with the Jets, they have what they call the fourth captain. They give the ball another extra ball to at the end of the game, like the man of the match. And, he got given the fourth captain award, and the whole room exploded, Jim. Even at the point where everyone's favorite anti-vaxxer, Aaron Rodgers, was just posting on his Twitters about lol. Hackett.
I mean,
the whole Peyton thing. He just set himself up for it, didn't he?
It's still Nathaniel Hackett, though, right? It's kind of it's like Rudy. It's kind of like, let's give that kid a bit of a go and let him score a bucket. Like it's got those vibes about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dallas 10, Niners 42.
Yeah, this was my favorite part of the week.
What a statement. This was awesome. Kittle has a hat trick. Purdy was really good at times. Yeah. Like it's amazing. It's so weird watching Mac Jones and then watching Brock Purdy and go, Mac, this should be you.
Yep.
Like, just don't fuck up. Like, that's all we kind of ask. Also, if we gave you like 87 amazing offensive weapons and a really good O-line, maybe you'd be good. But at the same time, like, just to be that solid week in, week out, and that dependable is incredible. And the dude just doesn't lose. Like, it's amazing. I love me some Brock Purdy.
From defense. The Dallas defense had no answers. They couldn't get to him. And then just those weapons downfield had it felt like an hour and a half to just get open, right? So there was the play to down the sideline to Ayuk, who was that the one who got called back for a hold? And so they've gone from an out route to we'll just do one across the middle, or almost the opposite move, and I'm still going to have 15 yards open. And both plays went for 40 yards. You're like, what is going on here? This is the defense that's keeping this team in. Like, that's winning, that's scoring half the points of the Cowboys. Like, it was wild. It was.
I think the best part was, so the Dak Prescott stat line, he turned much more into it was like the jokes were already flying, right? He just turned into Dak Wilson.
Yeah.
And then by the time it was the third pick, you're like.
Whack Prescott.
More like Dak Jones, Jesus Christ! Like, I mean, Mac, Dak, Zach. I mean, it all checks out.
All the media behind this, all the storylines coming up to it, and that's why the media's been having such a field day. I spent half my morning while waiting for the plane this morning. It was just all on, you know, get up and good morning football and all that sort of stuff. And it was just all like, you know what, if the Cowboys hadn't set themselves up for this by saying, you know, we've got potentially a generational defense when you've really played no one, right? And I'm not saying they won't, you know, turn around and beat the Eagles, but they made a long statement about wanting the Niners, and the Niners just came in and showed them, not in one area, in every area of the game, Jim. So Prescott ended up with 153 yards. So they were playing behind. So in theory, Prescott should have been passing. He ended up with 153 yards and three picks. So you might say to yourself, Jim, were all those 153 yards kind of a little bit later in the game? Did they start with a rush-first offense? No, they had 57 rush yards for the whole game. By the way, Dak got benched, not because, like, their game was out of the way. It was not that they scored some points at the end, but some other team defense. This defense, historic defense, had one sack and no picks for the entire game. They just could not get to him. The first down count was 25-8.
Oh, that is brutal.
And San Fran had the ball for 37 of 60 minutes. The weight of just the time of possession was just so out of whack that you're like, yeah, the weird thing was in the quotes afterwards. Oh, yeah, we got smacked in the mouth, but we've got something to learn from this. Yeah, you do. You were fucking underprepared, mate.
Yeah. What we're going to learn is that we shouldn't let Mike McCarthy run our offense. Like, I don't know. What are we doing here? Yep. It's like, go smash some more fucking watermelons, Mike. What are you doing? You dumb fuck. Jesus. Anytime, like, I swear that entire thing, my least favorite aspect is that they didn't put in, well, they put Cooper Rush in, right? Rather than Trey Lance. Yep. It's like, come on. Yeah. Go on. Put him in there. Yeah. Oh, no, you're cowards. All right, there you go. Yeah. And then
where I was disappointed about the Commanders subreddit about that they've given up. You know what I wasn't disappointed about, Jim? The Cowboys subreddit after that game. They are fucking eating their own. They are. McCarthy's got to be gone. It was so not like Kellen Moore's problem. Dak's been rubbish for years. Pollard's not the guy. Like, every man and his dog was on Cowboys blast fans. For that.
Bunch of animals. Anyway. And then finally, hey. Green Bay were very, exactly as I expected in this game. It was going to be a slog. And Las Vegas keep up their storied tradition of not scoring any points this season. They have now scored 17 points three times. Mm-hmm. On the other two occasions, they have scored 10 and 18. Like, they're almost as bad as New England, but at least they put up 18 points as opposed to three across 2 weeks. So, great uniform matchup, horrible game. Jimmy G came back.
Yeah, it was always going to be problematic when it gets announced beforehand that Davante Adams and Aaron Jones were both out. The two guys who's, what do I call it? Adam Jones, I always mix the two up anyway. So, those two playmakers being out wasn't going to be great. But there was pick central. Like, some of the interceptions in it from both sides were just thrown into double and triple coverage. And I'm like, I'm not a quarterback, but what the fuck did you see there?
So my question is, Davante Adams played. What are you talking about? Like, Aaron Jones didn't play, but Davante Adams
played. Sorry, Adam. Yes, I lied. They weren't both out. Aaron Jones is out.
Yeah, that was weird because I think I had in the paper today Aaron Jones, anytime touchdown. I think I also had Davante Adams, so neither of them fucking hit anyway. So good job by me. Yeah. But otherwise, like, it was just a weird fucky game the entire time. And you're like, absolute slog. Mm. Jimmy G throwing into triple coverage for an interception. It's like, he's back, baby. He's back. I love this. But then Jordan Love went, that was cute. Hold my beer. And then just kept giving the ball up. He had three interceptions today, Jordan Love. It's not great, not great. Right. Kind of loved it, enjoyed it, especially because I'd backed the Raiders. And I knew that, look, my big thing was Josh Jacobs. Mm-hmm. Anytime touchdown, over 60 yards, they both hit. Happy days. This was like just everything sort of coming to a shitty head for Green Bay. They've got a bunch of injuries on the defense. They've got some injuries on the O-line now as well. Mm-hmm. So you knew this was going to be a bit of a tough one, and it was. So the Raiders, again, though this is a kitchen sink thing, the thing is Josh McDaniels is actually probably just going to go spew into a kitchen sink straight after this and like go for a swim in it because that's where he lives. Right, let's do some yeah nows. Quickly, top five teams in this order, Gaz. Niners, Eagles, Miami, Buffalo ahead of Detroit, ahead of Dallas. There's six. How do you feel about those last four?
Oh, fuck. Well, it's interesting if you've done it in this order, considering, if we give Buffalo a pass for the London game and the jet lag game. I mean, they did convincingly beat Miami the week before.
That's it.
And the Chiefs not in there?
Well, I feel like the Chiefs just don't feel that good. So I'd have them ahead of Dallas. Are Detroit better than KC? They beat them in week one. They just sort of keep rolling. I don't know. It's weird, right?
It's hard because there's also a difference between who's the better team and which one would win.
True. Very, very good call.
I feel like Dallas might be a better team, have more all-round talent than the Chiefs, but I'd still reckon to get head-to-head, I reckon I'd still put money on the Chiefs.
Dallas also might just match up really badly with the Niners.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those weird things where they might be out – like, the Cowboys might turn around and beat the piss out of Philly, right? Like, which is what you were saying. And it's like, that's 100% feasable.
Yep.
And KC, look, as I said earlier, though, it's just if you keep grinding out wins, who gives a fuck? So they probably deserve to be in that top five. I'd probably have them ahead of probably Detroit.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But, it's right there.
Just for resume alone.
Five worst teams. Carolina.
Yeah.
Denver.
Yeah.
New England. Chicago. Giants. I can't believe I've got the Giants fifth there. I feel like they should probably scooch up a bit higher. We probably have Chicago above them, but even then, it's like that's a fucking murderer's row of shitness.
This is something that will definitely change if we look at what could adapt in that, but towards the second half of the season, like since a healthy Joey B, since he could start working their way up into that top five. But in terms of the worst, I mean, if we keep this last two game small sample size for Jazzy Fields, I mean, they could be on the improve. But I'm Like, are we giving more credit to the Commies just because they played one tough game against the Eagles?
I think Denver versus Washington is, like, still one of those weird outlier. Hang on a second. Who is this team? Who are they? What are they going to do? What is their resume going to be? And, like, Denver losing that game, I'm still going to go, I think Washington aren't that bad. Like, that bad. They did just get their ass kicked by Chicago, but I just don't – I trust them a little bit more than the other, like, four or five teams we've listed out there.
And so. I do like the fact that there's another – there's obviously the Jonathan Gannon-sized elephant in the room. I said that over the Kyler Murray-sized one because it's quite a small elephant. But Arizona, I think – because the Gannon defense has a way to keep some of these games close and because they shocked the world and knocked off Dallas, are we giving them more credit than they're – owed?
Probably a little bit, right? So it feels like there's like, so what's that probably gets us to about seven bad teams.
Yeah.
Like substantially bad. But like Arizona, there's a, like the same sort of goes for Houston, right? There's fight in that team.
Yeah.
It's the teams that don't have any fight that worry me the most, which is like the Giants, the Patriots, Denver, Carolina sort of stick around as well, but they just don't have enough talent. Like that's kind of the big thing.
It's funny.
And they've also got a tiny person as their QB. So
apart from New England, they're all the ones that you've said that are really bad that can really tank it are the ones with offensive head coaches. So that if the offense isn't clicking, they're fucked, right? Whereas at least if you've got, you know, a D'Amico Ryans or a Jonathan Gannon on a defensive-driven team, well, you know what? They can scrap out a couple of games and keep it close and then may just eke a win, might just get lucky, you know?
I think what this leads me to the most is that, all right, come on, Bill, let your final parting gift to the good folks and fans of the New England Patriots, the number one pick, would you? Right, could the Niners or Eagles go unbeaten? What do you reckon there, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
Oh, look, I don't think the Eagles will. I think we've still got that horrible row of games coming out of the bye, which I reckon we could drop 50% of those. So I reckon we're probably looking at about a 12-win season, which is pretty much on the over-under, I think. I think it was it 12.5 or something? Anyway. Niners, though, when you look at the rest of their schedule, it's not impossible.
I feel like the Niners are actually going to lose this week in Cleveland. That's my pick. But anyway, they do have some weird ones. Like they've still got to play in Baltimore and shit like that. And it's like these weird ones where you're you can see and them just dropping. Like,
It's going through it last year with the Eagles when we were 12. 13. It's tiring, right? It's not, and I'm on the supporter side. Like there is that thing where it just I'm not going to say monotony of it, but just you just know that you're the one with the target on your back every week, and someone's going to, you know, lightning's going to strike at some point.
Yep. MVP watch. Is it Mahomes, Purdy, and Hurts at the moment? Yeah. Nah.
Yeah, well, Hurts is starting to – he's only had the 2 weeks of really starting to come on. Like, I mean, not only did he have his 300 yards this week, but had 70 rushing to go with it. Purdy, it's just, as you keep saying, not done anything wrong. So
weird.
He doesn't have the freak plays like the Mahomes falling sideways, reverse, those things that remember that fucking thing. That was definitely a Purdy play. But the other thing is he gonna lose contention because everyone goes, yeah, but it's the weapons around him. That was the thing with last year when they were talking, yeah, but Mahomes has got no weapons and he's still doing this, whereas Hurts has got AJ and Devontae and he's got that coaching staff and it was always the system and there was an excuse. Is Shanahan gonna do that to Purdy? Is what makes
maybe. I'll pay that. Yeah. I think the funniest thing about the MVP watch is that it's either like Tua and Josh Allen were like, after big wins, it's like MVP. And then it's literally like you lose a game. It's like, Ooh, I don't know about you anymore. Yeah. I don't know. All right, good bloke of the week. Very easy one for me, George Kittle. 3 touchdowns, the hat trick. Fuck, I love George. Like, Kelsey is a monster.
Yeah.
You have, you know, obviously Gronk brought joy. Kittle falls much more in the joy-bringing side of tight ends than anybody else, I think, at the moment. Kittle is awesome. I love him. He's a fucking dude. Like, that bloke is a dude.
Yeah.
Kelsey is just like a fucking giant hunk of a dude who bangs Taylor Swift. Good on you, pal. That's awesome. George Kittle, you just want to hang out, go fishing, and drink beers with him, right? Like, yeah. it's pretty sweet. He's got much more of the Gronk vibe than Kelsey does, so I'm on the Kittle train. Breece Hall, as I mentioned, like, that entire Jets team should be buying him a beer this week because he carried that team to that win. Yep. 177 yards, and that 72-yard touchdown fucking broke the back of that team. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Nathaniel Hackett, he won the Wilson Bowl.
Just
AKA the shit bowl.
Pat on the back, mate.
It's like, that's awesome. Just good on you, Nathan. Yeah, you did. You did fantastic. You've said that before in your life. Good job, Nathan.
Yeah.
Right. Flog of the week, AKA old mate. No mates. The Wilsons, the brothers, Russell and Zach. Hey, just checking, Gaz. It's bad if your coach in front of everybody is screaming at you on the sidelines after a sack fumble, right?
Apparently.
Yeah, it seems bad.
That's not a great thing to happen. No.
I think that's bad. Yeah. Because Russell Wilson, it's like, I don't know. He's pretty unlimited, Mr. Unlimited, but he could also be a bit limited at times.
Yeah,
Zach Wilson, goddamn. It's like he does something half decent and then he fucks the clock at the end of the first half in that game as well. You're like, what are you doing, dude? Unbelievable. And Daniel Carlson just tried his absolute hardest to lose that fucking game for the Raiders today, missing two kicks. You're like, you're like automatic.
Like, they were just literally after the first one. That was it just before the half? Was it? No.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was.
They just literally spent all this time showing the clips of his family with his brother from Green Bay, the fucking mum and dad in the stands, and they're like, let's cut over from the family. Daniel's about to have a kick. Oh, whoops.
Because that's it. They've got the brother, and so they've got the dad in the crowd with like the split jersey.
Yep.
Because his brother, Anders, is the kicker for Green Bay. And Daniel Carlson just goes 1-3 in this fucking game, has the doinker. But what are we doing here? Like, I don't think I've yelled about this yet. How did I know? Oh, I forgot to yell about this in the Vegas game. McDaniels, what the fuck are you doing? It's a 4th-and-1.
54
tries
yards.
A 53-yard fucking field goal.
I want to go up by
either
7.
Either way,
I want to go up by seven.
You're already up by 4. They already need a touchdown to beat you, you fucking idiot. Jeez, just go for it. It's a 4th-and-1. You've been running the ball down their throat the entire time. They're going to have to use it. Like, what is happening here? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Josh McDaniels, you dumb fuck. Jeez. Anyway. You're just giving up field position at that time.
You're getting passionate about Raiders Green Bay, right?
I just hate Josh McDaniels, still. B, just bad football. What are you doing, man? What are you doing? And you've also got Micah Parsons in there as Flog of the Week.
It's just that Micah Parsons, I love the guy, right? Because he'll just come out and support players from other teams if he thinks that they're being hard done by and they've done something awesome. So there is that. And he is a Philly fan outside football, right? I love the guy and he's a fucking amazing player, but he came off after these interviews sounding like a delusional Cowboy fan, right? Literally in his interviews going, it's all about learning. So we didn't lose. We don't lose. What you get from losses like this? No, that's not how language works, mate. No.
Your verbiage is mixed, sir. So what are we doing?
No. And the other one was where he went on that rant of going, you know what? Look, it's just the scoreboard didn't give it up. We weren't that far away. It was just a couple of key plays that could have gone either direction. No, you got fucking smoked, dude.
You lost by 32.
You did nothing. The biggest hit you had all game was your own friendly fire of a helmet to your ribs. Like, that's all that happened. Van Der Esch went down. I think they injured each other. Van Der Esch's helmet into Micah Parsons' ribs. I'm like, that was the contribution. There was no. So Micah should be just, let's just move on to next week.
All right, Outback Takehouse, not too hot this one. I don't know, a little bit spicy, but also the game has passed Bill Belichick by. It's a weird one, Gaz. I've mentioned this before. All empires fall and you don't quite realize as it's happening that it's in a death spiral, right? Because you look at it and go, nah, they'll turn it around. The Romans will be fine. The Greeks will be fine. It's all going to be okay. The British Empire will be fine. The French colonialistic vibes will be fine. No, everything gets a bit fucky and you never quite realize it. The exact same things happen in New England because Belichick's old as shit now. And it's one of those things where you start hiring your kids. Like, that's just a bad sign. You know, it's, you don't even know who you can trust. It's like, what? What are you talking about? Your fucking dumbass, weird-looking kids, fuck them off. And then it's like, well, we've got Jared Mayo. Can we just, like, promote him now? Like, Bill Belichick, master coach, greatest coach of all time. What in the past 2.5 years says that he's still the greatest coach of all time?
Like, yeah, not much.
This is my biggest thing, and I'm a Patriots fucking fan.
Yeah,
I watch every single one of these games. You watch it, there is nothing that sticks out to you beyond, I don't know, they seem vaguely competent at times. The biggest thing about the Patriots was they were always competent across all facets of the game all the time. You know, without fail. Like, that's exactly what they were.
Need to rely on high draft picks, could take the trash of other people's.
The system was the system is the system, and the system fucking worked because it was drilled into you by a master coach.
Yep. The Patriot way.
Who then fails to adapt to modern tech. Like, I think the biggest thing still sticks to me is that Dallas game, right, where Pats are on their own 8 or whatever the fuck it was, they kick a field goal. Like, no. What are you doing?
Yep.
Are you trying to win? You're not trying to win at that point. So, oh, well, 3 points. Like, they then got the fucking shit kicked out of them and didn't score again. It's like, that's just old head dumb fuckery. And it stinks. So the biggest thing is, Gaz, what does he do? He's like, what is he, 29 wins behind for the record. Is it Don Shula who's got the record, right? So 29 more wins. He's not getting that in New England. Like, you can't even import a fucking QB and get 29 wins in the next 3-4 years in New England, right? Yeah. You somehow luck into the number one pick this year because you tank. Caleb Williams or whoever the fuck you're going to draft at number one isn't going to jump you back up to 12 wins straight away. Like,
yeah, it's a developmental thing, right?
It's over. Like, it's Packer up time, right? This is the weirdest. He's going to have to go somewhere else to get that fucking record. And then the list of, like, places he could go isn't wildly inspiring because, like, who has, like, a team that whose coach could get the ass and he could walk in there and he's got a half-decent quarterback and a half-decent building block? It's literally the Chargers, where if they keep stumbling, they just shit can Staley at some point. But even then, you've still got Kellen Moore.
Yeah, it's got to be Bill Kellen comes, Moore's role.
Maybe Bill comes in there and goes, right, Kellen, if we win 30 games the next 2 seasons, the team's yours. I'm out of here. I'll ride off into the sunset. I'm out west. I'm loving the fucking warmth. Like, because otherwise it's like the commies maybe with Rivera.
But we know that Eric Bieniemy's like kind of.
Bieniemy's already right there. You got Chicago, but they're just kind of shit. Like, what do you know, the Saints, same sort of thing. Like, there's no ready-made sort of situation for him to walk into outside of maybe. Like, even the Vikings, like, you're not going to go to the Vikings and turn that the fuck around in like a year or two. So it's maybe the Chargers. There's not much else out there.
Nah.
Like, if you go through every single team that might even have a hint of of a chance of that happening. So it's going to be a fucking weird situation when he bounces at the end of this year, I'll tell you. Anyway, little Aussie battler of the week. We had a couple of Aussies in primetime. Gotsis got a bit of shine in the London game.
Yep.
Good to see that. Mailata actually got a fair amount of chatter. It's always weird when he's got a rugby, Australian rugby background. You're like, they're talking about Mailata. And Mitch Wish crushing it again in a bit of Sunday Night Football. That was very, very fun. So enjoyed that. Little Aussie battlers out there crushing it. Everyone's favorite moment, though, of the week, though, guys. Captain Fantasy.
It's not been your favorite moment for 4 weeks, Tim.
I'm back. I just went out there, did what had to be done, kicked the shit out of Brett. And how? Jesus. Put up a wildly massive score. Look, all of I'm just happy to have a non-winless season in fantasy this year because it was getting pretty fucking dire.
Pretty hairy.
But very handy win.
Jim, I haven't lost a game since before last year's playoffs, so I don't want to curse that coming into this week. I haven't checked my forecast scores. But, 5-0, good baby, stuff, in two different ways.
Good stuff. All right, let's do it. Week 6, NFL Australia picks.
I squeaked a couple back, Jim. You back. Did. I'm only one behind.
You are. You actually picked up two this week, and I think we sort of flagged this before last week's picks because I do write my Friday column. And I did have, I think in the end, one or two slightly different, but I think I might have balanced those out with other ones that I had from Tuesday. Yep. So, and it didn't really matter. The biggest thing for me was that I actually ended up putting money on Jacksonville. And I think we both tipped Buffalo last Tuesday. Mm. But I'd eventually talked my way around into the Jacksonville idea because once I found out that Buffalo were flying in that late, I'm like, oh, no, thank you, sir. What are we doing here? So I think I eventually went Jacksonville at the line, didn't I? Yes, Jacksonville plus 5.5. But either way, I'm sticking true to that, you know, what we had in the spreadsheet. So I think I got 5, you got 7.
Nice.
So we both had a bit of a rough week against the line, but it was also a weird week.
There were a lot of close ones. It was like that, there was that the Atlanta game was half a point.
Half a point off, yep.
Yeah, that was a pretty shitty line and stuff. So anyway, let's race through these ones.
Right, week 6, Denver, KC. We're both going KC minus 10.5 because Denver are shit.
Yep.
KC, especially on a Thursday night at home, they should be laughing. Yep. Baltimore, Tennessee, this one's in London.
I didn't like picking this one, Jim.
I hated it, actually, and I think I wrote mine down before I realized it was in London. I'm going to go Baltimore as well because I think they're just better and more well-rounded.
Yeah, that's literally I'd been going the ones that were undecided and there were close lines. I was going the home teams and then I realized it wasn't really home, so I went Baltimore. Yeah.
I literally added the London bit after once I realized I never changed my pick. 9 is Cleveland. I'm actually going to go Cleveland plus 4.5, but if Deshaun's not playing, I'll end up swinging back to San Francisco. If he does play, I actually don't mind the Cleveland defense at home to stick it to the Niners and just like pull off at least that scrappy 20-17 loss, but cover that 4.5 line. And if Deshaun plays, they should be okay. If he doesn't, I'd go the Niners, and I think they just continue their winning ways.
Yeah. I've gone the Niners. I don't think there's enough in that offense. I think, look, yeah, you're right, the defense, but fuck, I saw a lot from that defense and the Niners this week too. So, anyway.
Very true.
Yeah, I'm going to stick
Washington.
With that.
Washington, Atlanta minus 2.5. The commies just stink. Even on a bit more rest, it's in Atlanta. Atlanta's a really fucking hard place to play in because it's fucking loud, it's inside, it's chaos. They know that sort of shit. And guess what? Desmond Ridder doesn't lose. So -2.5, that's a 3-point win if ever I've seen one.
I've gone from the home team in this one. I don't trust either of them. Like I said, Sam Howell in a losing game last week, put up 380 yards. They can move. You could move on that Atlanta defense, forcing Ridder. That defensive line will try and stop the run and try and force Ridder to beat him in the air. But the secondary for the Commanders isn't that great. So swings and roundabouts. I'm going with the home team.
Nice one. All right, Miami hosting Carolina. -13.5 point favorites are the Dolphins. I'm going the Finns. This is a way better team than Carolina, especially touchdowns.
If what we just saw, a 13.5 is a scary amount of points, but we just saw the Lions kick the shit out of them for that amount plus some. So Miami will come back and give them a serve.
At home as well, should be fine. Minnesota, Chicago. Chicago underdogs. Weird, right? Like Chicago getting 2.5 points against the Vikings that don't seem to do too much ever against anyone.
But Kirk seems to have it over on them, Chicago. But I'm just trying to play with the hot hand here at the moment with Jazzy, hoping he's got a little bit there.
Especially with a bit more rest. Indy at Jags. You're going the Jags. I'm going Indy. This is before I realized that Anthony Richardson wouldn't be playing. because it came out
about a month,
what, this morning, and he's going to be out for a bit. So, yeah. But Indy plus 3.5, I just hate anything to do with the AFC South playing each other. And if I'm going to get more than 3 points, I'm just going to take Indy.
And Indy's just got this thing over the Jags too. It's annoying. I've gone with Indy. I've gone with the Jags. But, yeah, it's just that little bit. I'm not confident. But, I'll stick with it.
Pats Raiders, 2.5 points. The Pats are underdogs on the road in Las Vegas. Oh, I hate myself. I've literally just called Bill Belichick absolute trash and he stinks. I'm going the Pats because he's going to want to do nothing more in his life than beat Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas.
100% he does. I don't like it. I'm going the Raiders. But no, I've got no other reason.
It stinks. New Orleans, Houston. I'm going Houston plus 1.5. They're at home. The Saints coming off a big win against the Pats. This is an absolute trap game for New Orleans, right?
It is. But we also, part of the reason that I picked, that was one of the picks I did get up on you last week, was all about that extra week of Kamara back, extra just those weapons settling in. Carr, I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. And that New Orleans defense, 1.5 points, I think if they would have been more points towards against New Orleans, then, you know, we could argue that Houston will keep it scrappy, but 1.5 points, I'm happy to go with New Orleans.
Nice one. All right, Seattle, Cincy, we've both gone Cincy minus 2.5 because it feels like they might have righted the ship. Seattle coming off a bye. It's a bit of a tricky one, but Cincy at home, I feel like should be too good.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think, I'm hoping that was a get-right game. I hope that's a sign of things to come.
Yep.
Like, you don't accidentally fall into a healthy calf, do you?
True. What do we got? Tampa Bay hosting Detroit. Tampa plus 3.5. You've gone Detroit. I'm going to die over here.
I'll look at it. I'll just take over for a second. I just think, Detroit, we've only really seen one blip on their radar, and that was against Seattle, a team who knew them. So I know that the Bucs have played, we've been using that word scrappy quite consistently, and, you know, Baker's been keeping them wild. Is Evans going to be back? Is the bye enough for his hamstring to make him? Because that's a big, obviously that's a big out if he's not there. I'm going Detroit to cover the 3.5.
That is a tricky one, actually. I don't know. If we do have Mike Evans, I agree with that, actually. Detroit probably should win that, but Tampa off a bye, fuck it. Let's go Tampa plus 3.5. Rams at hosting Arizona. I'm going Arizona plus 6.5 just because they're playing team stuff.
Because of the points.
Week in, week out.
Yeah.
And take the points. Yeah. So the Rams are good-ish. Arizona, though, off a loss. It does feel like this sort of team that could spiral, though, so maybe. But I'll stick with Arizona one more week, and if they don't prove it, then they can piss off after that.
I'm going purely stylistically with Nacua and Cup and the Jonathan Gannon bend don't break defense. I reckon Stafford could put up 600 yards in this game, and it's going to be like 70 field goals to 3.
Nice one. Weird. Yeah, I guess like Cardinals, Rams as well. Division foes. Like if I'm going to get 6.5, it's kind of just one of those weird ones. But anywho. Right. Who's up next? We have the Jets and Philly. Both gone Philly.
It's fast. Like I'm actually picking us to cover the spread for once. I think there's slow improvements and our defense is starting to slowly click. We've got some. We signed Roby, like three days before the game, and put him on Cup in the second half, and he shut him down. Right, he'd been in the team for 3 days. I think if we can get healthy in the right spots, and the defense starts to click, I think we'll start to. We're hard to run on, and I think they'll be relying on Breece Hall to take that.
Nice one. I'm in agreement with you for Philly. I think they're way, but even in New York, like it doesn't bother me that they're playing on the road against the Jets. especially that defense against Zach Wilson. It's like, yeah. And the Jets just lost another O-lineman. Like, pack her up, boys, done. Yeah. Buffalo taking on the New York Giants. Buffalo, 14.5 point favorites. They gave me like a little bit of pause. Buffalo traveling back from London. It's a big amount of points. We know that Brian Day will be like, all right, absolute light of fire time because we're fucked if this is it. But if like you've got even like a hint of a sort of gummed up Danny Jones, or even if you like rolled Tyra Taylor back out there, I feel like Buffalo should be able to outscore this Giants team to a horrifying degree.
They've got that amount they love a get right game too. The Bills quite often, they usually don't lose two in a row. So I reckon they've got to come out with that kind of revenge element in it. They're just going to, and as you said, kick the shit out of the Giants, which I'm here for, mate. I'm here for.
And then Chargers hosting Dallas. This is a weird one because the Chargers coming off a bye. How many Dallas fans are going to be there in LA for this game?
Is it going to be full? It'll be blue.
95% blue?
Yeah.
like, what are we doing here? The poor Chargers. The Cowboys are 2.5 point favorites. It does feel like a classic sort of bounce back.
Yeah, their ego is going to kick in. And,
but I feel like they do it also. I feel like they do it hard though, right? Like the Chargers coming off a bye, they'll still put up a fight, but Dallas should probably win it.
Yeah, I just don't think there's nothing in that Chargers defense, right? It's just not very good.
Well, Khalil Mack had 6 sacks last week, but like, what are we doing?
Yeah, 1 year. And then, you know, did the calculations and they're like, oh, yeah, they only double teamed him 3% of the time. Oh, yeah. You know what? You know who you should probably double team? The guy with 5 sacks. Yeah. You know why? Probably so he doesn't get 6 sacks.
Yeah, after the third one, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's like, what have we done? Oh, God, we've made a horrible – we'll keep doing it. Fuck it. There you go. All right, so Green Bay and Pittsburgh are off next week as well. And as mentioned, I'm only one pickup on Gaz so far after 5 weeks. Good stuff. Only I better make that like a really expensive beer if that's what it comes down to. Either way.
It's not like one of us are employed to do this or anything.
This is very true. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it is really fucking annoying doing these on the on Tuesdays against the line and then me having to redo it all again on Fridays when actually I sort of, you know, sit there and think about it a little bit more. But anyway, that's it. Episode 80 of NFL Australia Dunskies. So, I don't know. In the meantime, drag us a follow across Facebook, Twitter, IG, all that good stuff. Thank us for rating, review on your iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which will be YouTube Podcasts very soon, I believe, Spotify, whatever app you use, you know. Check us a rating review. 5 stars or we'll bash you. Big thanks always go to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go listen to their album, They Rule, and get around NBA Australia, CodeBet Daily, all the other stuff that we do. Are you going to need plugs there, Gaz?
Mate, I'm packing her up right now because if you're around somewhere around Darling Square or King's Wharf this evening, you're probably going to see me drinking beers. So say g'day. So I'm going to plug. Have a few with Gaz Day.
Nice. Have a beer with Gaz in Sydney. He's got his alarm going and everything. And, of course, you can read all my shit on codebet.com.au as well about all the NFL stuff. Every game covered each week. It's a lot of writing, I'll tell you. My Friday is just ruined again. Just a huge column. Either way, it's good times, great memories. Good stuff, Gaz. All right, we'll catch you next week, you dickheads.
See ya.
Later, hosen. I guess I'll deal this time. With time, I've been broken.